Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Stop judging, and you will not be judged. For as you judge, so will you be judged. And the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye? You do not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove that splinter from your eye,' while the wooden beam is in your eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first. Then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye." The Gospel of the Lord. Today we get to the 13th part of the 16-part annual series we have, pondering Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And in this week, Jesus will start to summarize what he's been saying. The whole Sermon on the Mount is about his standards, about learning how to live and to love as Jesus does, including to the love of neighbors, a standard that surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees and the virtuous pagans. Today, to help us learn how to love even our enemies and pray for our persecutors, Jesus wants us to be able to look beyond their defects, not to notice, not to fail to notice what they might be doing wrong, but to look beyond them to something far deeper. And in fact, actually to use them as a mirror to help us to become more like God. He starts off by saying, "Stop judging, lest you be judged." He's not saying here the obvious point that we can't judge actions. In the first reading, God judges the actions of the Israelites in the northern part of the kingdom of Israel and in Samaria, because they sinned grievously against the Lord. They had idols that they worshipped, just like the pagans that they had previously, with God's help, driven on out. God inspired the sacred author to remember those misdeeds precisely so that future generations would be able to know that idolatry is sinful. He wants us clearly to know the difference between right and wrong, and to judge objectively actions. But what we can't do is we can't see the motivations of another's action, which is why judging is exclusively God's. When someone does something evil, we can't always tell what the intention is. Yesterday, as I was driving back from Massachusetts, I was listening to the soundtrack for Les Miserables. I really love the story of Jean Valjean and Bishop Bienvenu. But at the beginning of Les Miserables, as you know, Jean Valjean was sent to 20 years in prison for stealing a loaf of bread because he and others were hungry. People didn't know what his motivation was. They just looked at how it violated the law, and off he went. When he was shown mercy by Bishop Bienvenu, he spent his whole life trying to give back because his soul had been purchased for God. We can't see when someone does something wrong what the reason is. Even let's take the situation of somebody who abuses others. One of the first questions we have to ask of anybody in that circumstance is whether this person himself or herself was previously abused, because in most cases we'd be right. When someone's promiscuous, a lot of the times it's trying to get a different ending to the horror of abuse suffered as a child. It's not just what we think sometimes, that a person's choosing this with true freedom to turn toward these false loves, contrary to the love of God. We can never judge actions. On the flip side, we can't judge good actions either, the person who commits them, because sometimes somebody might be at Eucharistic adoration because there's someone he wants to get to know at Eucharistic adoration. When someone gives to the poor, it might be out of vain glory. Yes, that is a good action, but we don't know the motivation. And so we leave all the judging to the Lord. That's why we never put somebody in hell, and short of canonization, we never say the words, "He's in a better place," because we just don't know, because we're not God. Jesus likewise gives a principle there that's key for us, that a lot of the times we focus on others' specs precisely to divert the attention from our own flanks. Bishop Barron tells a story of a retreat he went on in which the retreat master did something a little weird. He started in the middle of a retreat to ask all the retreatants to think about somebody who really drives them crazy and to really obsess about what habits that person has that are truly obnoxious and to start to write them down. And then the retreat master asked each retreatant to go back to his room and then ask God for forgiveness for the ways he was guilty of similar things. Because a lot of the times that's precisely the deflection. We're hypersensitive to the sins in others that are huge temptations for us. And when we've battled so hard, for example, let's just say, against impatience, we're hypersensitive to somebody who's always impatient. We don't recognize what the genesis of it is. So Jesus wants us first to examine ourselves, take out our plank so that we can see clearly, and with love, seeing God in another, patiently help them take out their specks as good Samaritans, motivated by nothing other than love. Today the church celebrates two saints who illustrate aspects of this gospel. They themselves knew the difference between right and wrong when everybody else's consciences were either being violated or were being misinformed. When Henry VIII had made all the subjects in England take two oaths, the oath of succession and the oath with regard to marriage, Thomas and John Fisher refused. Even though the vast majority of bishops were taking these two oaths, which were essentially schismatic, to say that Henry was the supreme leader of the church in England, not the Holy Father, and apostatic, pretending as if the sacrament of marriage wasn't what Jesus himself had taught. John Fisher refused to take that oath, as did Thomas More, because both saw clearly in conscience what the Lord was asking and were going to remain true. And they measured out fidelity fully to giving their life in witness to the truth. And that measure has now been measured back to them. They are extraordinary witnesses of conscience. We prayed at the beginning of this Mass that just like them and through their intercession, our life might give witness to the faith we profess on our lips. Every morning at Mass, the Lord gives us an eye exam. We begin by confessing our need for Him to take out the planks in our eyes. We name them, at least in the categories, of our thoughts, of our deeds, of our words, and of our omissions. And then we come to hear the Word of God so that we can see things as they really are, see right and wrong. And then we receive the full measure of His love so that our whole life can be a witness to the faith we profess as we give our body and pour out our blood out of love for others. Today on this feast of Saints John Fisher and Thomas More, we ask for them never to cease praying for us, so that we might put into practice the gospel as they show, in good times and likewise in trouble.